jar full of turkey or ham or something good. Yes, yes. It's good to see you this morning. And I'll start off by saying it's good to have Chuck Edens with us this morning. And Chuck, our heart is with you. Our prayers are with you. And we are so glad that you're able to come this morning. And we just pray for you and your family through this time. Also, I found out Brother Philip had been a little under the weather this week. And so we'll just pray that the Lord will give him strength and help this morning as he tries to teach to us. And I'll give y'all, before we get into prayer requests, I'll give y'all a little bit update on Preacher Lastly that I know, and that's not very much. I don't know very much. I did spend a little time over there yesterday, and he slept the whole time I was there. So he was resting really good. On Friday, I was over there, and Graham Foreign came by, and he talked to both of us just really good. So I don't know if maybe they are giving him something to help him sleep or what it is. But anyway, let's remember Preacher Lastly. He needs our prayers, and also Miss Ellen. She needs those prayers too. His family was in here this week, and so I didn't get to see Lori or Calvin, but I got to see Tori over there and talk with him. So just pray for that family. They're having some issues right now that they need our prayers. And Preacher Lastly, you know, he was wonderful to always be at the hospital, to see the sick, visit the sick. And so let's not forget to pray for him during this time. For a few announcements, before I get to the announcements, did most of you know Mark Boyer, that was in our class for a very long time, sat on the back seat, and then he went over to the men's class. Did y'all know him? He passed away on Thursday morning, okay? And there's going to be services for him over at Snyder Funeral Home on Tuesday. So I know there's a conflict there. There's going to be an Oasis dinner and a movie here at the church from 5 to 8. So maybe you can get by the funeral home before you come to Oasis if you do that. So anyway, let's pray for Mark's mom. And I think he had a brother also. And so just remember that family in your prayers. Okay, I've already touched on it, but on Tuesday, December the 3rd, there will be a catered dinner and movie from 5 to 8 here at the church for the Oasis. And if you're part of Oasis and come to that, just remember that. Oh, I know that it'll be a good time. And then on Saturday, December the 7th, from 9:30 a.m. to be visitation and outreach here at the church. So just remember that. That'll be coming up. And there's a lot of announcements on what's going to be going on over the next week or so after this week. So y'all read that carefully, and you'll see there's a lot of things going on here at the church. And it will be wonderful to be in this time, especially for this time of year. And before we talk about the prayer request, I'd like to say happy birthday to Mark Larkey and to Miss Nellie. How old is that man? Oh, I don't know. I quit asking those questions. But happy birthday to y'all, Miss Nellie and Lark. So it's good to have birthdays. On our prayer list, as I mentioned, we're praying for Chuck Edens and his family. We're also praying for hold on just a minute. I had a senior moment. The family of the gentleman over in the nursing home there at Agape. Can anybody help me with his name? James Presley. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes I do pretty good with first names, and then I can't connect the first names and the last names. So it's part of it. Getting old is, Miss Lashley says, getting old's not fun. So anyway, thank you, Miss Karen. James Presley passed away, and so he and Miss Sherry Edens is with the Lord, and Brother Mark with the Lord also. And you know, we don't know the hour or the time when it'll be that we pass from this life and go to be with the Lord. So just remember these folks that have this in their families now, and remember them in prayers. And I didn't ask you this morning about your sister Viola, but how's she doing? About the same? Okay. All right. And has anybody else got anybody, any special prayer request this morning before we go to prayer? Anybody have anything on your hearts? Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord, and we'll ask his blessings on the Sunday school and the preaching service this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning that you are a prayer-answering God. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we know that we have folks among us now that are suffering this morning. They're sad because lost of loved ones, dear God. And we're just praying that your peace and your comfort, Lord, your strength would dwell on them, Lord, and on their families. And God, for those that are, we know that's mourned again, Lord, we're going to see them again. Lord, it won't be that long. Lord, it won't be too long. And we're just looking forward to that day when we'll all be together in heaven, Lord. The devil will be destroyed. There will be no more sin. God, we just thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you'll just give them comfort and peace that we don't know how to speak. And then, Father, I pray this morning again for Preacher Lasley. Please be with him and his family. God, I pray also for these others on this sick list, Lord. Many of them are suffering with cancer. And Lord, there's some of them, Lord, that are having surgeries and other things that are happening with them. God, I pray that you'll remember each and every one. And Father, just as we come to this Sunday school hour, may you touch Brother Philip. I know he's not felt well this week. I pray you'll give him help during this time as he teaches to us, Lord. And then bless our pastor at 11 o'clock, Lord. And God, it's always in our heart, we pray for those that might be among us that don't know you as Lord. And we pray today, if that be the case, Lord, they'll come to know you before this service is over today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. And I'm not quite done with my cold. Now it's just drainage. So I'll probably do this a couple of times today as I try to clear my throat and sip on my water. So much death, amen. But we need to remember something, don't we? Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Amen. It's a very precious thing for God. Now, you and I, what we see is a terrible diagnosis, or we see cancer, or we see pain, or we see a heart condition. That's how we view it in our state. But for God, these are very precious days for you and me as we grow closer and closer to that time. I don't know all that means, but I know that there are things precious to me, and I know what that means to me. And if that means the same thing to him, then it must be a wonderful thing up in heaven, amen, if it's very precious to him. Now, we've been studying Revelation chapter 4, if you remember. We kind of got off on some side issues that I hope were a blessing to you. But I want to return to what we've been discussing, and that's this thing of being rich towards God. Our text was from Laodicea there in Revelation chapter 3, and they were very poor. I'd rather not talk about the negative side of not living for God. We compared them to Smyrna that the Lord had nothing bad to say about. And he never said, I have somewhat against thee. For Smyrna, it was all good. And he said, thou art rich. So I'd rather talk about the positive side, amen, because I'd rather be rich towards God and learn how to be rich towards God and learn how to be honored by God, because that's what we're seeing here in Revelation chapter 4. We know that about the division of this book, what John had seen, Revelation 1, what things are, Revelation 2 and 3, the church age, and then the things which will be hereafter, Revelation chapter 4, all the way to the end. But in Revelation chapter 4, we see John caught up hither, and every commentator I've ever read, and I've read Larkin's Dispensational Truth twice, cover to cover, and I'm still not, there's still a lot of questions after seeing all his charts and reading all his stuff, but most agree that this is a type of the catching out of the church, caught up hither after the church age. And we saw there this wonderful sight, thundering and lightnings, and we know that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin with us, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? And so what we see first in Revelation chapter 4, before he gets to the judgment of the world, 5 on, we see this amazing scene in Revelation chapter 4 where there's only us. Amen. The 24 elders, these wonderful beasts that we took a short glance at last week, and the thunderings and the lightnings as a type of the judgment seat of Christ, which we all must go through. And but we also see here crowns, God rewarding his people for their service. And that's what we're looking at, because we want that, don't we? We want to be honored. We want to be rewarded for service. We want to have something like we see here. Look with me in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. Because after all of this, we see the thunderings, the lightnings, the mighty visions, the eyes of fire, and the mighty working here. And then after that, we see in verse 10, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And what do? They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy. Now, we know that crowns, honor, riches, all these things that God wants us to have are nothing but his goodness. Amen. We're not earning anything. We don't deserve anything. It's just the glory of God to glorify his people that have served him. Amen. Their glory, their crown is purely derived. It's nothing innate to them. It's something that God has given them as his pleasure, because of their service for him, or their living for him, or their enduring for him. And we see that they turn around and give that same glory back to their God. Now we have to ask ourselves something about this, amen? Are we going to have anything to glorify God with there? That's a very searching question to me. It stirs me. What will we have? Now, all of these things are just things that God has given to us as rewards, as honors, and that's what crowns are representative of. It's a very honorable thing, correct? It's a glorious thing. And it also is a symbol of authority that we'll see here in a minute. And they, in their worship, throw these things at the very feet of their Savior to glorify Him again, to give glory and honor to Him who is worthy. Now, can I tell you something? This is so reminiscent of what we see in John chapter 12. Would you go there with me real quick? This is a wonderful text. And you know as well as I that this is immediately after John 11, where Lazarus is raised from the dead, that wonderful passage that has so much to teach us. And in chapter 12, in verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We are seeing our Savior and this family on resurrection ground. It says it there. Him who was dead, who he raised from the dead. So this is a scene that teaches us some important things about the resurrection. We see three things here, and I believe these things you and I will be involved in heaven. You think, what in the world would we do in heaven? We'll see these things here. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. So we see service, we see fellowship, and we see worship. I believe these are the three things that will involve us after the resurrection. We'll serve him. We'll sit in fellowship with him. And like Mary, we'll worship. And notice what she does. Now, what does the Bible say about a woman's hair? Would any of us deny the fact that it's very important to a woman? Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it is a glory to her. So what we're seeing Mary do, which is what we're seeing the 24 elders do, she is giving her glory to the Savior. Can you imagine how she looked after she finished up? What a mess, huh? Tangled up old mess. She'd given the glory she had. Now, folks, that's what we're going to do. Will we have any glory to give is the question. Because not everybody wins a crown. Not everybody, evidently, according to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, these Laodiceans will have nothing to glorify God with because they are poor and blind and wretched. right? You and I want the glory that only God can give us so that we can give it back to Him in honor of our Savior who is worthy of it all. Amen? Now notice, if you would, I believe these would be the three things that we do up in heaven: service, fellowship, and worship. But if you look back in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire." Now look at this. "And on his head were many crowns." These ones that they threw at his feet, apparently. I know of no others here in Revelation. These crowns that they honored him with in worship, he puts on his head as he's coming back. Now, wait a minute. This is all allegorical. I know this is a picture, but the glory that he comes in is partially the glory of his saints, those who have served him. Now, we got to go one step further, though. Here he comes back with many crowns on his head. All the crowns of those that served him, honored him in this life. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work." All right now. So we've seen that crowns are glorious things. We've seen crowns are honorable things, but crowns also have to do with authority and dominion. Now, if you would, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 11. Oh, no, verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly." And I haven't got there yet. I picked up the other one. Verse 20, Matthew 25, verse 20. "And so he that had received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more." So we have here an illustration of God rewarding his servants that are serving him in this life. And what does he say? "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler." Did you see that there? Sounds like a crown to me. Amen. "Thou will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He said also, he also that had received two talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliveredest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done." Did you ever hear a message on this when you were a young Christian and all you wanted to hear was those two words when you got to heaven? I can remember it to this day. "Lord," and I came forward just like you come forward, amen, in a message, and God's working on your heart. And somebody, my preacher, preached on this, and I thought, I want those two words. God, help me to so live that when I get done with this life, you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God bless you in here that have been good and faithful servants. There's coming a time where you'll hear a "well done." "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." So not only is this crown an honor that he gives us, a reward of our service, not only is it a glorifying of his people by these things, it is also a token of the service that you and I are going to be honored with in that kingdom. And we only have this life to make preparation for that. Will we have something to glorify him? Will something we've done be sitting on his head when he comes back in his glory? And when he has, and he has his rewards, and he will give to every man according to that which he hath done. Matthew 25. Will he say to us then, well done. You've been so faithful. I'm going to reward you now. Folks, I'd have to say like that missionary said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to keep that which he cannot lose. Amen. I believe that was Brother Elliot. And 1,000 years of honor and glory and service with him in his coming kingdom, it's worth living for now. And let me encourage your heart. I don't know everybody in here. Some of you in here have been serving God longer than me. And I'm humbled to be able to stand here and teach you. But whether you have for years and years or you have not, it's not too late to serve him now. Because our God is so gracious. He gave us an illustration, a parable. And he said, oh, I can't quote it, but you remember it. He sent forth some laborers into the harvest field, and he said, I will give you a penny. And then at noon, he came to some others, and he said, go, why stand you idle? Go, and I'll give you that which is just. And he came at the very last hour, and he said, why stand ye here idle? Go and work in my vineyard. And they went and worked, and guess what? He rewarded every one of them, even the ones who had stood idle for most of the day. He is so gracious. If we'll just get busy now, I know it's not what you could have done maybe when you were young, but there is something you can do now. And our God is so gracious that if you'll just serve him in these last few hours of your life, he'll give you the same reward he'll give us who labored through the heat and sweat of the day. Because he's so gracious. It's a wonderful thing. Let us all stir ourselves up to do just a little bit more. Amen? Just a little bit more. I don't know what it is. I'm so glad that I met Nathan Forum. I was able to go to the prayer meetings, the men's prayer meetings. It's become difficult for me to go to them, but I was able to for a while. And Nathan showed up, and he said, somebody was leaving his junior church class, and he needed help. And he was there, and I was there that day. I wasn't able to come every day, but I was there that day. And God touched my heart to talk to him about helping him with his junior church. All we are is crowd control, amen? I'll fill in for him sometimes with his lesson, but we're just there to love up on these kids and keep them under control. That's just a little bitty old thing. He does all the big work, amen? We pray for him, of course. And we just are crowd control. Just a little bit of something that we can do, amen? I don't know what it is you can do. We can do that. But there's still a little bit of time left, amen, for every one of us because we're still alive, whatever it might be. All we've got to do is say, Lord, here am I. Send me, whatever it would be, a handshake, something that God gives you, a visit to some sick people or some old people or just whatever. God will pay you wages, and you will have something to give to him at the day of his glorification and of his coming kingdom. He's such a great God. Now, how do we win these crowns? Let me see if I've got enough time. I do not. I would like next week, there is one passage in the Bible that gives us very detailed way in which we can win a crown. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And to all of them that love his appearing, I want to talk about this and bring out some truths, because I don't know about you, I want to finish well. Amen. And I want to receive a full reward. And I want to be encouraged even to the last of my days on this earth to do well, to receive a well done. And so we need to look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about receiving a crown of righteousness, about loving his return. And so next week, if you will allow me, I will talk about that, because I want us all to be rich. I want us all to be rewarded. I want it to be a better resurrection. Amen. I want it to be a glorious one. I want him to find us faithful when he returns, and we all are ready for that coming day. So next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about how to win a crown. We'll talk about a fight, the course, my course, the fight, my course, and the faith. Each one of these are very important principles that we must adhere to if we are to win that crown. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless these dear people. Some in here have served so long and so hard and so sacrificially, and there is coming a day when their summons comes, that precious day when you'll call some of these servants home, and there they will receive a crown. Their riches will come back to them, what they've laid up in heaven. Lord, and others maybe have been remiss. I don't know. I don't know everybody here. But if they have, you are so gracious. Encourage them once again to lay their all on the altar and say, Lord, whatever you would have me to do in these last days, give me grace to do it, and just show me that I might glorify thee both here and there for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.